sack. Is that all you get for your money? And if that's what you have in mind, yeah, if that's what you're all about, good luck moving up, 'cause I'm moving out.
Good morning and welcome to Oklahoma Real Estate on the Move. You're listening to Becky Ivins, broker of Movers Real Estate Company. And we have in studio today, for your pleasure and your questions, frankly, Ken McBride. Good morning, Ken.
Good morning, Becky.
Ken is the president of Chicago Title, Oklahoma, and the former Capital Abstract, if everyone knows the name Capital Abstract. Now everyone seems to know the name Chicago Title. So that's awesome.
Thank you.
And we've been visiting, so we haven't really talked about what we're going to talk about. But one thing I do want to ask you about is wiring fraud. That seems to be a huge, huge thing now. You read all kinds of horror stories about people wiring their funds to closing and they don't get to the closing company.
Becky, this is a bigger problem, I think, than most people realize. It's not really gotten the media attention yet that it should. But in 2017, the Internet Crime Report reports that $676 million were stolen from participants in real estate transactions by a diversion of their wire transfer to a fraudulent account.
Well, $676
million? $676
million.
And it's that's growing. I look for 2018 to probably be double that.
Wow. And so how do you avoid it? I mean, how do they do it?
Well, it's the people who are perpetrating this fraud are very clever, and they're also very persistent. They don't have to do much of this to make a whole lot of money, and so let's start off with the fact that frequently you will have your email account hacked, or have someone will have access to either your email account or the email account of someone who you're doing business with, and I think sometimes when you're thinking about wiring funds, you need to assume that someone else has access to your email account or to the email accounts that you're dealing with, and you need to take precautions. When I don't know about you, but regularly I get email attempts to make me click on something to get additional information or to look at this document or something else, when in fact it's an attempt to download some kind of virus or some other type of program to my computer and into my email so that someone else can have access to that. And once someone has access to the email account of a buyer or seller, a realtor or a title company or anybody in the transaction, then they sit and wait for certain terms to appear in that email. And generally, those terms have to do with a wire transfer, some kind of a banking transaction. And at that point, they will intervene and create an email account that very much resembles the title company's email. And it may have an extra letter, it may have an extra a letter that is changed, but it looks so much like that email that people think they're receiving an email from the title company.
And then the customer doing the purchase is sending money to the wrong account.
Exactly. And in fact, this occurs at every stage of the transaction. In our company alone, there in August, there were 71 serious attempts to divert emails that we were able to stop. And 17 of those were on the seller side. 47 of those were on the buyer side.
So on the seller side, you were wiring money to the seller's account.
Yes.
And the seller sent, the pseudo-seller sent you a changed wiring instruction.
Yes.
And you were smart enough not to do that, I hope.
That's correct.
Okay.
but these were attempts, and we even had one attempt in August of lender funding that a fraudulent individual sent a lender a fake wiring instructions, attempting to get the lender to wire to the wrong account, which of course didn't happen. We stopped that from happening, but there was a fake email sent to the lender, giving them a fraudulent bank account.
Well, once can't you just kind of retract it if it goes that direction?
Sometimes yes. What the pattern has been, and this pattern is constantly changing, but the pattern, as I understand it, is that the money is almost always wired to a United States bank, to a United States financial institution. Sometimes it's a credit union, sometimes it's the bank, sometimes, you know, it's some financial institution, and then it sits here for about 48 hours, and then it leaves here to go to a foreign bank. Sometimes it's Russia, sometimes it's China, but it's always to a foreign institution that refuses to cooperate with our law enforcement.
So the money's gone.
Yes, the money's gone. We have been able from time to time to intercept that money and stop it before it leaves the United States. And our company has a team of attorneys that are on call 24 hours a day. And if they're notified of this at any time, they will go into court and get a restraining order to freeze the bank account where the funds went fraudulently, and keep the money there while they contact law enforcement and are able to attempt to retrieve that money. And the FBI is actively involved in getting this. The problem is that you have to know that you have sent money to a fraudulent account rapidly. If you don't know in the first 48 hours, the money is likely gone and cannot be retrieved.
Well, so the cure for this, I mean, the fix, I would think would be you can wire instructions just fine, but shouldn't you like pick up the telephone and call the person to whom you're wiring money to verify everything and be sure they get it the next day?
You know, Becky, there are several things that a person can do to try and protect themselves against this. And the one that you have suggested is the easiest and the most obvious, is that you pick up the telephone and you call the title company and say, I want to verify the wiring instructions before I tell my bank where to wire the money and make sure that we're sending it to the right account. Now, you also have to be vigilant because frequently these emails that are going to a buyer or to another party, they come in and they appear to be from your title company, and they say, we've changed the wiring instructions, we're going to send it to another account. And so you have to understand, first of all, verify all wiring instructions by a telephone call, and second, verify any changes to those wiring instructions. It is rare for a title company to change those wiring instructions. So when you receive a request to change those wiring instructions, very likely that request is fraudulent.
Right. So pick up the phone and call.
Pick up the phone and call before you wire money.
Then call the next day or later that day and be sure they receive the money.
Yes. It's You have to go back to the old-fashioned talking to a person. Now then, that's also not as simple as it may appear, because frequently the pseudo-emails that look so authentic from a title company will include a phone number that says, please call to verify this. That phone number is bogus. And there's a person on the other end of that phone call that is very skilled and will assure you that that email is valid. So when you make your phone call, you have to call to a known number. You have to call to a number that you know is actually that title company, because the number you'll find on the fraudulent email is to some participant in the fraud.
Boy, so, yeah.
These people are very skilled at what they do, and they're constantly changing. And every time we do something or the law enforcement does something to change that, they adapt, and they adapt very quickly. And like I said, it's millions and millions of dollars they're taking from buyers and sellers of real estate.
Well, so fraud is a huge deal. I'll tell you, when we return, we're going to talk about why you need title insurance. And because it's not a real small fee, it's a one-time fee, but it's not a small fee. And we want to know why it's important, or if it is. And we'll return right after this break with more on Oklahoma Real Estate on the Move. Well, welcome back to Oklahoma Real Estate on the Move. This is Becky Ivins. My broker number, by the way, is 47388. Do you guys, I'm with Ken McBride with Chicago Title. Well, you're more than with them. You're the president of Chicago Title. And do you have a license number?
Well, we've got lots of license numbers.
Oh, okay. There you go.
We're licensed as title insurance agents, and we're licensed. And I'm licensed as an attorney and as abstractors, but I haven't memorized our number.
Oh, okay. There you go. Well, we're regulated, so we kind of have to give our number out occasionally to let people know that we are licensed. And we're talking about some fraud in the and how to avoid it, the fraud in the title insurance and the closing business. And you were on the break, you were telling me a story about a little lady in North Carolina.
Yes, and this is another aspect of this fraud that people need to be aware of, and that is that in order to perpetrate this level of fraud, the criminals have to have access to a bank account in the United States in a financial institution. And the story as it came to me was that one Saturday morning, a nice little elderly lady in North Carolina found a SWAT team from the FBI on her front porch, and she was very surprised, and she invited them in, and come to find out, she had been talking on the phone, established some kind of phone relationship with a very nice gentleman in Russia. And he had, they had talked and had very nice conversations. And after a few months, he indicated to her that he was buying and selling some real estate in the United States, but he needed, he couldn't get the money directly to Russia. And would he mind if, you know, would she mind if he just had the money sent to her credit union account, and then he could help her wire it to his Russia account? And, of course, he was such a nice person on the phone and had been so nice that she couldn't imagine that he had anything bad in mind. And so she essentially began laundering money for one of these fraud operations, unbeknownst to her. And, of course, the FBI shut that down very quickly and informed her of the kind of issue that she was dealing with. But she had no idea. The bottom line is, if someone asks you to use your bank account or to somehow run money through your bank account, very likely they're laundering money, and very likely they're using your account as a conduit for some type of activity. And I don't care how nice a person they are. They need to get their own bank account. They need to get it in their own name and go through that process, because the banks, when they set up the account, perform some due diligence that that needs to be done.
So, boy, criminal minds. It's hard to even think like that, isn't it?
Well, it's amazing, and a lot of people are very trusting, especially of someone who seems to be trustworthy and who sounds perfectly legitimate. But if someone asks to use your bank account or funnel money through your bank account, that's one of those things that you should question very seriously, and probably not do at all.
Well, and it seems pretty harmless, because it doesn't seem like a lot of risk, because they're putting money into your bank account. So it seems like the risk is very little to the little lady in North Carolina. But as it turns out, she was just being used to launder money.
You know, he even offered apparently to pay her, and she said, "Oh no, that's not necessary."
Oh man, I think when you said that she invited the FBI in, they probably would have come in anyway. Probably, you think?
Most assuredly, because when they came to the door, they thought they had an international money laundering scheme, one of these criminals right there. And it turned out that it was a lady that these criminals had actually taken advantage of.
Wow. So if you have a question about the closing process, why you need title insurance, questions about title insurance, I want you to give us a call. 840-1000 is our listener line, 840-1000. And why does someone need title insurance, Ken?
You know, there are a lot of reasons that a person needs title insurance, and there are two that particularly stand out. The first has to do with the fact that included in your title insurance is the obligation of the title company to defend your title. Your title may just be perfect, but someone still may file something against your property, or someone may seek to establish ownership in your property. And just defending your title could be quite expensive. Very often the title insurance premium is less than a few hours of attorney's time to defend your title.
Well, that's, and you know, if you've ever dealt with any kind of a lawsuit of any kind, you realize how fast attorney's fees can add up. Well, very, very quickly.
And one of the largest portion of title losses is actually paid in attorney's fees to clear up title issues, to clear up something that has become apparent and needed to be corrected and needed to be cleaned up. And it's, if the title company is not going to be paying to do it, then very likely it's you that's going to be paying to get it cleaned up so that you can sell or encumber your property.
Okay. So we do have a caller. Good morning, Melissa.
Good morning, Becky.
How are you doing today?
I'm doing well. How are you?
I'm doing great. Melissa, you are on my team. You work with buyers that call and inquire about property. And so you have a question or a comment for Ken?
Yeah. Well, luckily, I am a buyer's agent, and so most often we do get to pick our title company, and so that's one of the perks of working with buyers. And, you know, I've been around the real estate world since 2010, and I was an unlicensed assistant for a real estate agent for many, many years, and our preferred title company was Capital Abstract, and I actually did not realize that that is now Chicago Title. And just over the years that I have been in the real estate world, you know, I've worked with several different title companies, and Capital Abstract was our favorite, and now the last several years I've been using Chicago Title primarily. And every now and then, you know, I've had to use other title companies at closings and things like that. And you can really tell that there's a difference. Chicago Title has always been very uneventful, which is how you want a closing to go. And, you know, you go in, everything is ready. You sit down with the buyers, you sit down with the sellers. And generally, everybody leaves very happy. So I can, you know, it makes a difference where you close. The level of service at Chicago is, I would say, well above a lot of others.
You pretty well put it in a nutshell there, Melissa, because your tagline actually is, it really does matter where you close, right?
That's absolutely yes. Right.
So, Melissa, thank you, and you're welcome to hang on, and we'll get to you, Jim, right after our news break when we return with more on Oklahoma Real Estate on the Move. Welcome back to Oklahoma Real Estate on the Move. This is Becky Ivins that you are listening to, and we have Ken McBride with Chicago Title. If you have a question about title insurance, why you need it, about the closing process, I invite you to call at 840-1000. We were talking with Melissa right before our news break. And Melissa, you're still on, right?
Yes, I'm here.
Okay. I thought I would have you share what happened to you on your own closing with Ken McBride.
I even closed, you know, I bought a new home over the summer, and there was a slight issue with my own closing, and it happened while we were there at closing. I discovered that there was a dispute with the sellers and the HOA. The HOA was claiming they hadn't been paid in a while, and the sellers were adamant that they had made their payments. So I got a little worried that we weren't going to close that day. But Chicago Title, they handled it well. What they did was withhold the money from the seller's proceeds and had a check for the HOA. And they went ahead and let us. They went ahead and let us close, and they gave the sellers some time to dispute that with the HOA and get it cleared up. And it was a couple of weeks later when I contacted the HOA, because we have a community pool and we wanted our wristbands so we could go to the pool. And I found out that they indeed had not received their check yet. So I inquired with the title company and just let them know that the dispute had not been resolved yet. And so they went ahead and released those funds to the HOA and took care of it. So I was happy that, you know, our closing wasn't delayed and everything was handled, and the HOA eventually got their money, and so all was well.
So you got clear title, no liens against your property from the HOA, full access to the HOA. But mm-hmm. the nice part of that story that I hear is mm-hmm. that Chicago Title was willing to allow the seller to dispute that, because if the seller indeed had paid that money, getting mm-hmm. it back from the HOA would not be as easy as getting the check from Chicago Title.
Right.
So, Melissa, thank you very much, and I am so proud to have you on my team. If you get the pleasure of working with Melissa, it will be a great experience for you. So, thank you, Melissa.
Thank you, Melissa.
You're welcome. Thank you.
Okay.
Mama, come on, baby, tell me what's the word, word up. Everybody say, when you hear the call, you got to get it underway.
It is time for our word of the day, brought to you by Robbins Roofing, where their word every day is trust. Chicago Title is Chicago Title. Listen to me. It's actually Robbins Roofing, right? You can trust both those companies, but Robbins Roofing, you can trust to choose the right shingle for your house, the right material. They also will talk to you about the class 4 shingles. Class 3 shingles also have an insurance discount with most companies. And to contact them, it is 728-3700. 728-3700, Robbins Roofing. And our word of the day today, Ken?
We're going to go with diverted wires.
Oh, okay.
Diverted wires are wires that were wired funds that did not go to the intended recipient of those funds. They were diverted by a fraudster who decided to divert them to some other account. So diverted wires.
Okay. Our word of the day brought to you by Robbins Roofing. And good morning, Jim.
Hello?
Hi, Jim. You're on the air.
The last caller, or Melissa, may have answered my question. My question is this. If I buy a house and I get a title search, and then I'm going to sell the house, why do I have to have another title search?
Well, that's a very good question, and let me address that. Because frequently, you know, of course, during the time period between transactions, things can appear and things can be filed in the public record. There also are different parties that are involved. And so one of the things that we check on property is whether there are any judgments or liens against the individual that would attach to the property. So a lot of things can happen during a period of time, even a short period of time. We've even had times where people owned property less than a year, but because they had federal tax liens or other charges, judgments against them, if we had not checked that period of time, then we would not have been able to disclose the fact that there were liens against the property.
Now I understand.
And if you get a lien against an individual, it automatically becomes a lien against the property?
If it's a judgment lien or a tax lien, you know, surprisingly to me, there are a lot of people out there who end up with federal and state tax liens against them. And whenever they go into title, you know, we had an unfortunate circumstance where a gentleman wanted to put himself and his son in title as part of his long-term estate planning. What he didn't realize is that his son had tax liens against him, and later they decide to sell the property, and we check the records, and sure enough, the lien against the son shows up, and this fellow has a lien against his property that he had no idea was going to be on the property.
Yeah, so that's pretty important. A lot of times there are liens against a property like chattel mortgage, chattel, right? Like air conditioning systems.
Yes, we do have a Uniform Commercial Code, UCC, liens that a lot of people have bought either air conditioning units or other fixtures for the home.
Carpet,
hot water heater, whatever. You can sometimes buy those things and pay them out over a period of time, and frequently the vendor will file a UCC against the property that becomes a lien against the property.
So, and you check that before you do it.
Yes, we do.
Yeah. So, especially buying a brand new home, that would be a really treacherous path to go down if the builder has not paid all the bills on the property, right?
That's a particular issue, and certainly is an extraordinary risk for us. But we do have to be concerned about mechanics and materials liens. Anyone who furnishes labor or materials for the construction or remodeling of property has a right during a period of time to file a lien against the property if they've not been paid.
And then it becomes a lien against the property, and you're going to have to pay it at some point.
Well, and that's what having a lien against your property, I probably should elaborate on that a little bit, is that is that the fact that someone has a lien on your property means that your property secures the payment of that obligation. And if the obligation's not paid and they have a lien, they have an opportunity to go into court, foreclose that lien, and go after your property or the equity in your property, actually, to satisfy that lien or that judgment.
Wow. So it's got to get paid. So, but if you have title insurance, the title insurance covers you against any such risk, right?
Yes, and it doesn't get a lot of publicity, but title insurance companies pay millions of dollars in claims every year. We try to keep our claims as low as possible because that's prudent and prudent business. But we end up paying off liens, we pay off judgments. If there's something wrong with the taxes, years ago when they had a manual system on taxes, if you checked the taxes and you looked at the wrong line, you could think that your taxes had been paid and they hadn't been. Or if there's any kind of error in the way that the county would note whether the taxes have been paid or not, the county isn't liable for that. And so we've had instances where, for whatever reason, we've had to pay taxes.
It's a clerical error on someone else's part that you get your information from a source. And if it's incorrect, that's too bad.
Yes.
So, well, Jim, thank you for your call.
You bet.
Good morning, Ann.
Good morning.
How are you today?
I'm well, and you all?
I'm dandy today. How about you, Ken?
Doing very well. Thank you.
You sound dandy. Hey, I have a question. I'm just so glad you had Ken on today. We had a home built, and the builder went bankrupt before he finished the house. And we don't know if we have a title or not, let alone title insurance. Where do we start to find out all these things and get some help?
Very good question. The first thing is, did you buy the lot and then retain the builder to build the property or the home?
Yes.
Okay, so you're actually the owner of the lot.
Yes.
Okay. Did you obtain title insurance when you purchased the lot, or do you recall?
Do not recall.
Okay. Well, if you remember where you closed, then they could search and determine if they wrote title insurance on the property.
There, well, actually, Ken, I don't know if they closed on that.
Okay, so there may not have been an actual closing. You may have just bought the lot.
Yes.
And was it a cash purchase for the lot, I assume?
Yes, it was, I believe.
Okay, now the next place to look is to, I assume that there was a construction loan.
Actually, this was paid by cash. The whole transaction was paid by cash.
Goodness, okay. Yes. Because the reason I ask that is that most all construction lenders that I know would require title insurance to protect them and require some title insurance with lien coverage.
Uh-huh.
Okay. If you had a cash purchase on the lot and no title company was involved and a cash and you were building the house using cash disbursements, then it's very very likely that you do not have title insurance and don't have any recourse other than to go to the builder, and probably at this point, I would suggest that you hire an attorney.
My goodness!
Yeah, how long ago was this house finished?
Well, it actually is not finished yet. He went bankrupt just right after he quit doing anything on the house, which was like 2016, 2017. He quit in 2016 doing anything, coming out and doing anything, and then they moved in at about June 2017.
Here's the good news. 4 months has passed, right?
Pardon?
You 4 months has passed, and Ken's going to tell you why that matters.
The any mechanics and materialmen's liens for those who are have provided labor or materials to the property and have not been paid, those liens have to be filed within 4 months. And it's within 4 months of the last date on which work was done on the home. So there may be some things in your favor, but if there are people who have filed liens, or if there are people who are claiming that they were unpaid, then you may need to contact an attorney.
Mm-hmm. Is there a way to check any records, county, state records, to see if there are liens?
You can actually hire Chicago Title to do that for you.
Yes, we'll do that.
Well, is there any way to just call some agency or look online? I know some of these are online that you can.
And this is not a time for a do-it-yourself.
Is that right?
This is a time to get a professional.
Uh-huh.
And I'm going to give you the number for Chicago Title.
Okay.
It is 752-1100. Is that correct, Ken? 752-1100.
Okay.
It is not an expensive thing to have done. They are the experts at doing it,
mm-hmm.
and they'll tell you whether or not you even need an attorney after that.
Mm-hmm.
It is certainly, it's very affordable to have Chicago Title check your title to see if you have any liens.
Uh-huh.
They just do a title search, right, Ken?
Yes, that's correct.
And so you're talking a couple hundred dollars at best.
I forgot my other question.
What were you about to say, Ken?
Oh, I was just going to say that if you call and there's any confusion about what you need, ask them to just transfer your call to me, to Ken McBride, and I'll do what I can do to assist you, Ann.
Well, that is wonderful. Well, I appreciate that, and I guess we'll just need to talk to you next to see what we need to do, if anything.
Well, you happen to have called the right place at the right time, Ann.
Yes.
We are going to break for a little quick word from our sponsors, and we'll return with our Smoke and Not deals right after this on Oklahoma Real Estate on the Move. Welcome back to Oklahoma Real Estate on the Move. This is Becky Ivins that you are listening to, and Ken McBride, president of Chicago Title. So, Ken, I had a closing this week at your new South office.
That's correct.
At Cleveland County office. And usually I would close at Cleveland County Abstract when I go to Cleveland County. I wanted to try out your new office down there, but really, they're both kind of owned by the same company, aren't they?
Well, Cleveland County Abstract, I'm very proud to say, is part of the Chicago Title family, and I'm confident that you're going to be well taken care of with Cleveland County Abstract or Chicago Title Oklahoma.
Yeah, and Shauna was the closer, and she came from a company that was not one of my favorites, I'm going to have to tell you. The slowest company in the metro. And I was shocked that she got through this in record time. And in fact, I looked at my watch and thought, oh, this probably took an hour and a half. Well, it took 40 minutes because she was prepared. She knew exactly what she was doing. She did not make us feel rushed at all. It was just so relaxed and an important transaction, but handled so professionally. It's just like the rest of your offices. So I love dealing with Chicago Title, by the way.
Well, thank you so much. And we have just the very best people.
You do. I asked how she got, I said, what made you move to Chicago Title? And she said, well, they've got such a good reputation. I said, yes, they do. I said, you're going to be shocked how much business you're going to get here, because Chicago Title just has the best reputation. You ask almost any realtor in the metro. You guys have a huge market share. You close about half the loans, half the transactions in the county, and not just the county, the metro area.
Well, it's not quite half, but we do have the number one market share, and we're very proud of that. And it's because we've got a wonderful group of people who are eager to take care of our customers.
So, and take care of them, they definitely do that. So, well, I thank you for coming in today. And it's always a pleasure to have Ken around. And I'll tell you what, if you guys are wanting to hear, to ask an attorney a question, week after next, on the 29th, Ron Shalhott is going to be here just to answer your questions about anything to do with real estate, judgments, liens, that kind of thing. Next week, I'm hoping to have David Harpster on, and he's with Rising Point. And Rising Point is a company that helps you get your credit score up. So if you have a suggestion, if you want to hear from a particular person, if you want a subject covered, I invite you to come to my website, call my office. The number is 722-3232, and the website is BeckyIvins.com. You're going to find all my favorites on there. Just look for Becky's favorites, and you're going to find all their contact information, links to their websites, and we will see you next week with more on Oklahoma Real Estate on the Move.